A surefire way to reduce global warming is to burn less fossil fuel. Coal, oil, and natural gas have generated some of the carbon emissions that have started heating the planet. But these days, you can also pay someone else to deal with carbon for you. And that could mean a new source of income in Southeast Alaska. As John Ryan reports, giant trees and deep, wet soil make Southeast Alaska one of the nation's largest storehouses of carbon.
Anybody who's watched Star Trek knows humans are a carbon-based life form. So are trees and fish and the ancient fossilized plants that now fuel human civilization. When any carbon-based thing burns or decomposes, it releases carbon dioxide. When plants grow, they take that CO2 out of the sky. In a nutshell, that's the carbon cycle, and that's what brings Rick Edwards snowshoeing into the forest near Fish Creek on Douglas Island.
It's a beautiful, gorgeous place here, and some lovely big trees down here in the riparian. So.
He's a stream researcher with the U.S. Forest Service. He and his colleagues are trying to figure out how much carbon goes where as it cycles between land, air, and water.
In general, Southeast Alaska is very carbon rich.
Edwards says about 7% of all carbon stored in American forests is in the Tongass.
Coastal temperate rainforests are cool year-round, and they're waterlogged. And these two factors inhibit decomposition, so allow carbon to build up on the landscape.
Edwards studies carbon because he's a scientist. He just likes understanding how ecosystems work. But as world leaders race against the climate clock to reduce the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, interest is rapidly growing in the carbon cycle.
We're very interested now in how much carbon is sequestered within the soils and the plants, because the carbon that's stored as organic matter on the surface of the earth is not in the atmosphere contributing to global warming.
Many states and nations have started putting legal limits on CO2 emissions. They're allowing companies to exceed those limits if they pay someone else to offset their carbon emissions. Here in Juneau, groups ranging from the Nature Conservancy to the Sea Alaska Native Corporation are exploring how to tap into this emerging carbon market. Nathan Sobolev is a natural resources planner with Sea Alaska.
The potential for carbon credits within Southeast Alaska is potentially one of the largest banks of carbon storage within North America, possibly within the world.
Sea Alaska has already liquidated much of its carbon inventory by logging its older forests. But Sobolev says it's possible to suck more carbon out of the air by actively managing younger forests.
The carbon, provided that it goes into a long-term product like a 2x4 or a guitar top, if that wood goes into those types of products as opposed to turning it into cellulose for paper or other things like that, that carbon is stored.
Most of the carbon in a Southeast Alaskan forest is in the soil, not in tree trunks. Scientists are still studying whether you can increase carbon storage by taking logs out of a forest. Some environmental groups think the new trade in carbon credits is so much greenwashing. Backers of carbon markets say strict protocols and third-party verification will ensure that carbon really will stay on the ground and not return to the sky. Back in the coastal forest of Douglas Island, scientists are discovering there's another way a lot of carbon might escape the rainforest. This branch of Fish Creek is frozen solid enough to walk on, but water still gurgles beneath the ice. Forest Service researcher Rick Edwards explains why the ice is brown.
And that brown color is from dissolved organic carbon, the organic form of carbon, and by dissolved, it's just tiny rather than leaves and sticks. Kind of gives you a glimpse frozen in time at how much carbon is coming out in the water.
Edwards says nearly a million tons of carbon washes off the Tongass every year. That's more than three times as much as loggers have chopped down in any single year on the Tongass. Researchers think about half the carbon that washes out to sea is biodegradable, meaning bacteria and other organisms can turn it back into carbon dioxide. Soil scientist Dave DeMore with the Forest Service says it's part of the carbon cycle that's been overlooked.
We also need to understand this dissolved flux because it's so huge. And we've underestimated it, and we may be missing a large component that we're actually losing and out of that system that we're not accounting for.
The researchers say it will be several years before they can tell carbon traders just how reliable the Tongass is as a carbon bank. Nathan Sobolev with Sea Alaska says there's another hitch when it comes to selling carbon credits from Alaska. Because the Alaskan government has not set any limits on its carbon emissions or joined in any carbon trading schemes, carbon credits aren't worth much here compared to other parts of the world. To date, the Palin administration has declined to join the Western Climate Initiative. That's a coalition of 7 governors and 4 Canadian premiers. They've committed to reducing the region's carbon dioxide emissions. The group is putting the finishing touches on a cap and trade system for carbon. It will cover 20% of the U.S. economy and about 3/4 of the Canadian economy. Alaska is sitting on the sidelines as an observer of the 2-year-old effort. The Palin administration has emphasized protecting Alaska's economy from the impacts of a changing climate. Protecting the climate from the impacts of the Alaskan economy has been a lower priority. In her vice presidential debate against Senator Joe Biden last fall, Governor Palin said she supports putting a cap on carbon emissions. She also said she didn't want to argue about whether human activities or natural cycles are causing climate change. That led the science website realclimate.org to dub Palin the most clueless U.S. politician of 2008. In a letter addressed to Alaskans last summer, before she became a national political figure, Governor Palin said, "All life on Earth shares one atmosphere, and each nation, each state, bears a responsibility to all to protect it." I'm John Ryan.